Hello and welcome to the Inner Take podcast. My name is Ramon Gardella and I'm your host. The Inner Take is a podcast for musicians, a space to talk about what happens inside us when we make music, the thoughts and feelings that shape how we play. I will share my experience as a musician, what I've learned along the way, and I will talk to other musicians about their journey. This podcast is not about technique, it's about what happens inside us when we make music. So, if you are a musician, stay right there. Welcome to the Inner Take. Let's begin. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for being there and listening to the Inner Take podcast. Today is the episode 11, so we reach episode 11, and I'm so happy, as always, to be here with you. Okay, today I want to talk about what I am and what many people who listen to this podcast are, and this is music interpreters. So do we know what that is? Because nobody taught me this at university, and I don't know about you. Did you ever stop and think what it means to be a music interpreter and what type you are? Probably not. And most likely you were taught to improve as much as possible technically on your instrument without being asked, where are you going to go? Also, you were probably taught that thinking about this takes time away from practice, so you shouldn't do it, right? I also feel this thing to have the feeling that you lose time if you take care of things that are not practicing your instrument. And you know, in a way, it's like getting into a car and starting to drive without knowing where you're going. And the musician keeps improving the car more and more, but just to drive in circles. So today I want to present to you the types of music interpreters that exist and see where you are today. Which kind of interpreter are you, or maybe where you want to be as a music interpreter in the future? So to begin this, it's important to understand that music interpreters are musicians. That means they have the need to express their life through sound. And the interpreter has two things that composers and improvisers do not have in their daily work. And this is a piece that they didn't compose and a composer who composed that piece. So in this case, I have to say sorry to my fellow composers and friends, because I'm talking now about interpreters or players, and so people who play music composed by others. But of course, we are talking about personal things, and if you're a composer and or an improviser, you are going to find also good material for your life, because this is for musicians, but we know that musicians are persons, so this is for all the people who are interested in. So we said a piece that we didn't compose and a composer. So the way the interpreter relates to the piece and to the composer, whether they know it or not, it defines what kind of interpreter they are. So first, the objectives that the interpreter has when approaching the composer and the piece define them as an interpreter. And this is very important. So the objective you have with the music you're playing and the relationship with the composer you have defines you, which kind of interpreter you are. So the book Music and Emotions talks about four types of interpreters. These four types are mainly defined by the objectives each interpreter has, as we said. And these objectives exist before the interpreter works with the piece. So it exists already in the person, in the musician. And many times the musician does not know these objectives, but still follows them unconsciously. And as you know, everything unconscious in us controls us. It takes us and we end up being like puppets of something inside us that we don't even know is there. Besides the objectives, there are other things that define each type of interpreter. The first is the way of practicing. So we are going to talk how interpreters practice, which aspects of the piece are included and which are not, which aspects of the interpreter are included and which are not. And the idea of the ideal interpreter, this is very nice. So what the interpreter thinks about the ideal interpreter. So maybe if I ask you, which is the ideal interpreter for you? And this idea that you have, it's very interesting because it's in relationship with you. We're going to talk about this further. And the relationship with the composer. And the personal stage of development from which the interpreter acts and relates to the music. So in which personal stage? Let's go one by one. The objective of interpretation means, why is the musician playing in the performance? So why do you play? Why do you go on stage? The way of practicing, when we talk about way of practicing, it means what is the goal during practice. And this depends, of course, on the objective of the interpreter. So what do you want to achieve? And you will practice to achieve that. So it's very related what you want to do, because it says how do you practice. Let's talk now about the aspects of the piece. We have the technical aspect. So this is the technique needed to play the piece. We have the analytical aspect. This is what the musician understands about the piece. And we have the emotional aspect. So the emotions that the piece proposes, which the musician must feel, experience and express. Of course, these aspects of the piece, these three things we talked, are connected to the aspects of the interpreter. So to connect with these things of the piece, the interpreter must develop their own aspects. For example, the technical aspect of a piece goes together with the physical aspect of the interpreter, because all technique is physical, and if you need to learn a new technique, you have to train and develop something physical in you. The analytical aspect is connected to the intellectual development of the interpreter, because analyzing means understanding, and understanding is intellectual. So what can you understand about the piece you're playing? This is the analytical side. And finally, the emotional aspect of the piece is connected to the emotional or psychological development of the musician, because you can only feel emotions from the piece if you can feel your own emotions. So we are going to see, if you're not connected with your emotional side, you're not going to reach the emotional side of the music you're playing. These are the aspects: the technical, the analytical, the emotional. And then we have the concept of the ideal interpreter. So what image does the interpreter have of an ideal interpreter? And this is, again, if I ask you, for you, which is the ideal interpreter? If you can imagine, the ideal player. We all have this image. Maybe it's conscious and maybe not. And if it's not conscious, the interpreter may follow a model they actually don't agree with, but you have it in your head. And so you are, if you don't know, you are going somewhere, but you don't really want to go there. You know what I mean? And then we have the relationship with the composer. Also very interesting to see how the interpreter relates with the composer. And, you know, I play a lot of new music. I work a lot with composers face to face, one to one. And this is another thing that I'm going to talk about to you about collaborations. But we are talking now mostly about pieces that were written before and the composers are dead. So how do you relate with this for all the classical music that you are playing, music from people that are not here anymore? And how do you relate with these people, although they are not here? So interpreters always have a relationship with composer, even if we don't know them or they are dead, as I said. So we create an image of the composer. It's like building a figure. And then we believe the composer is really like that. So we say, I don't know, Brahms is like this and it's like this. So we make this image. And this affects a lot how we relate to the piece. So now something very interesting, and this is, where is the interpreter as a person in the psychological side? Where is he or she? And this is the developmental stage of the interpreter. And we have three stages. The first one is childhood. Second is adolescence, and three is adulthood. And in each stage, the reference point is different. And remember this reference point. For example, in childhood, the reference point is someone bigger than the child, and the child wants to satisfy this. In the adolescence, the reference point is something bigger than the person wants to challenge. So in adolescence, it gets about challenge, a big thing, a big object. And in adulthood, the reference point is oneself. So the adult takes from others what they think is good and leaves what is not. And with that, they make their own path. Now we will see how each interpreter works from a different stage. So until here is the introduction. What aspects are we going to analyze in each interpreter? And I'm so looking forward to hear what do you think when you hear this, if you can feel identified in these interpreters. The first is the interpreter as a machine. The main objective of this interpreter is not to make mistakes in performance. And many interpreters, many musicians are not aware of this and even deny it. So they say, no, this is not my goal. Being like a machine is seen as something negative, but probably because nobody wants to admit it. So after playing, the interpreter feels good if they didn't make mistakes and bad if they did. And many times what affects them is not all the mistakes, but one specific note or passage where they think they should not fail. So they focus on that mistake and ignore all the notes they played well. So they ignored all the things they did good, but they focus just on this thing they think they shouldn't fail. The musician leaves the stage thinking only about technique. The way of studying of this machine. They study, of course, to avoid mistakes. They use almost all their energy on technique and almost nothing on other aspects. The aspects included and not included, well, they focus on technique. They feel they waste time if they work on other aspects. And they may think those aspects are important, but they feel guilty when they are working on them. And they think, I will work on later when technique is ready. But you and me know that that moment never comes. So the aspects of themselves, of the musician itself, they leave, of course, two important parts, which is the intellectual and which is emotional. And the consequence, this creates emptiness, boredom, and even exhaustion in practice and in musical life. They have a concept of ideal interpreter, someone who does not make mistakes, even if they don't understand or feel. It's just the objective is not to make mistakes. The relationship with the composer is respectful, but it's distant. They think their job is to play exactly what the composer wrote. Of course, talking about technique, because the other aspects are out of this equation. If they make mistakes, they feel they are disrespecting the composer. You know, this phrase when you said the composer must be moving in grave because they are dead and they are hearing what you are playing and they are going to be bad with you, they're going to be angry. So, and this is the relationship they build. They imagine an angry composer. So someone who suffers when mistakes happen. And why? How do you build an image like this? Why do you think the composer will be angry and not thankful because you're playing their music so many years after their death, although you do mistakes? I don't know. So in which stage of life is this interpreter? Well, they are in childhood because they feel they did something wrong if they make mistakes. They feel guilt. They think in terms of right, wrong, good and bad. They need approval from someone bigger, teacher, conductor, colleague, or even the composer. They are like a submissive child looking for approval. The second type of interpreter is the reproducer. So they play the piece as it should be played. And this phrase is always very clear. It should be like this. You should play the piece like this. This includes, of course, not making mistakes and also following dynamics, tempo, articulation, etc. But this how it should be played comes from someone else. And this is very important to understand about these interpreters. The teachers are recording the environment or what they think others expect, says to the interpreter how it should be played. The way of studying, yeah, they study to match that model. They include the aspects mainly technical with some simple analysis. So they not make a mistake is also very important, and they are aware of other things like tempo changes, dynamics, articulation. So they are a little bit more specific than the interpreter as a machine. The emotional aspect is not included. It's included technical aspect and the analytical aspect a little bit because they are aware about dynamics and things, but not really with a serious and deep analysis of the piece. The concept of ideal interpreter for these interpreters is the perfect reproducer, someone who can copy exactly what they are told. They see the piece as something fixed and always the same. The relationship with the composer is similar to before, but influenced by the teacher, so they see the composer through what others say. So the other tell the reproducer how the piece should be played and how is the composer. So, and the stage in life, this is childhood again, because they obey and they feel guilty if they don't. The number three is the rebellious interpreter, the rebel. And the objective is to play how they feel. They think feeling is something spontaneous, it's something changing and not to be analyzed or questioned. The way of studying, they mostly just play without deeper work and mostly one run through of the piece. And this is it. The emotional aspect here is included, of course, but in a very superficial way. Technical analytical aspects are not included. And the concept of the ideal interpreter is the romantic musician, you know? This image of free, no pressures, full of emotion. And this is really the, you know, when you talk to people that are not musicians, they think musicians are this, you know, you're free, you have no pressures, you're full of emotion, you can express, you can make music. And, you know, they think it's so easy, but we know how hard it is to be a musician and to make music. So these interpreters, they have a relationship with the composer. They say they respect the composer, but their work does not show it because they don't respect what the composer has to say because they just play how they feel. So they don't do a deep analyze or they don't work on the technique to play the things the composer wrote. They make it like how they feel. And this is very interesting. The life stage of these people is adolescence, because they act against authority, teachers, composers, institutions. What really drives them is not freedom, but opposition to authority. And this way of working is often a defense and not a true choice. They are defending themselves. They are fighting against authority, against the peace. I feel like this and I play like this. And, you know, I'm not thinking how it should be or something. And the last one, the number four, is the interpreter as a creator. The objective of this interpreter is to experience and express the deep emotions of the piece. So experience and express. This interpreter includes all aspects and decides for themselves. They take music very seriously, and this is like a child takes play, creating their own world and not worrying about what others think. The way of studying, well, they study to connect deeply with themselves and the piece. This makes practice meaningful and very rich. They are very much looking forward to practice because they find practice very interesting. Because it's the time when you can connect with the things you want to say and express through the piece and through the composer. The aspects included are three: technical, analytical, and emotional. And the emotional aspect is the goal. And the technique and the analysis are the tools. The interpreter has all his aspects included, the emotional, the analytical, the technical, and the concept of the ideal interpreter is a recreator. A piece does not exist without someone who recreates it. Playing means recreating something that already exists. And even if a composer plays his or her own piece, they are recreating the piece, and this is something very interesting. You need someone who recreates what somebody wrote. The relationship with the composer is deep and is loving because they want to understand the composer as much as possible, and they respect the composer by embracing them. And in this embrace, the interpreter changes, and the composer also changes, because in this embrace, both change and you have this development in both sides. Stage in life is adulthood. They listen to others, but they decide for themselves. They understand that their main relationship is with the piece and not with others. They understand that music is not a means, but an end. They accept something important, solitude. An essential solitude that is part of being adult. They take responsibility for themselves and their music. On that is the reference. Okay, it's a lot of information. I know for me, when I read all the things and I prepared this podcast, it was very interesting to know where I am as an interpreter. What are my goals when I play? What do I see in some other people? And of course, when you know this and you think interpreter as a machine, and mostly if you're studying, if you're in a conservatory and if you have fellow students, you can see this. Concentrated just in not missing a note. And then you have the people who says you should play like this should be played like this reproducer. And then the adolescence, so the rebel who says, I'm playing like this and I don't care. This is like this, this is what I feel and I do it. You know, I also met a lot of people like this. And then the last one, of course, the ideal interpreter, so a person who can have all these aspects. This is for me a goal. I think nobody is like this if they don't learn it, because the systems, institutions, they teach us, as we said, to spend all the time possible with your instrument. So the aspects as a person that you have to develop, you have to build it, you have to learn it, and you have to work for it. So I think this is a very interesting thing to say, okay, where am I now? Where do I want to go? Am I recreating a lot or nothing? Or am I just concentrating on playing without mistakes? Or because if you can see this, you can understand a lot of what you are and why do you feel how you feel. I see people who has very important workplaces in orchestras and choirs, and they are bored and they don't want to play anymore, you know, because they are the whole time playing things. They are already written and they have a version and they receive the notes and they read what they have, but the creativity is not there or is not in the amount that connects you with your music. I'm not saying all orchestra people are bored, but I see very often people with really good jobs and jobs they looked for, they really fought for them in a kind of, you know, boredom, in a kind of, I don't want to play this anymore, or, oh, let's play this again, you know, in this kind of routine thing that is not very good. So I invite you to hear to this episode and to think about where you are and where do you want to go, or how can you identify these aspects and maybe bring some new more to your daily practice? Because the objective that you have to make music is the objective you are seeking, searching in practice. It's all like in a line, you know, and this is very interesting. Thank you very much for listening to me, and I hope you're doing very well. And I'm looking forward to hear from you. If you want to contact me, if you want to write, if you want to say hi, you know where to find me. Thank you and bye-bye. If something in this episode resonated with you, I invite you to take a look at Mental Notes. The link is in the description. There you'll find texts, videos, and short resources that can help you explore these ideas further, and most importantly, space to talk about them. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. See you next time. Take care of yourself. Bye.